riding along on my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity run wild. Cruising and playing the radio. With no particular place to go. Riding along on my automobile. I anxious to tell the way I feel. I told her softly and sincere. She leaned and whispered in my ear. Curdling more and riding slow. With no particular place to go. Place to go. So we parked down by the Kokomo. The night was young, the moon was gold. And we both decided to take a stroll. Can you imagine the way I felt? I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along on my calaboose. Still trying to get that bell loose. All the way home I held a grudge. For a safety belt that wouldn't budge.
Pain in the morning. Thursday, 8:20. This is your theme song now if you go out cruising. We have nowhere to go. And wherever we go, we get hassled. So, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, some local boys from the Delaware Valley who really made good. who knew at the time when they sat down and cut this that it would become basically the anthem for us now, out here roaming around in the dark of CoronaCon. Welcome to the Pain in the Morning show for Friday. Thursday. Wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. And we appreciate you tuning in. Numbers are growing, and we're happy about it. We had the big Wednesday podcast that we cut loose a few hours ago. I haven't even promoted it yet on True Pundit, and it's raising some eyebrows already, which is a good sign. Sometimes I just like to cut these things and just step back and see what happens, see if they grow on their own organically. We're not one of these guys who pushes all of our content with credit cards and tries to get a lot of retweets and things like that. We just see where it goes, man. Let's see where this goes. Let's see if this can stand on its own, right? It's like releasing a teenager out of the these stories. It's like watching your teenager drive out of the driveway for the first time on their own with their driver's license. Let's see what happens. This could get interesting. So we got a lot of stuff. So, yeah, that podcast is eye-opening. And you want to listen to number 37, I think it is, about our friends in the FBI and Durham and Barr. You got to know your cues. You guys are missing this on the video. Missing some good antics on the video. The video podcast on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. You're missing some good video cues on the video podcast that we do on there. We appreciate the support on there. A lot of people are coming there now, and I think they're very happy with it. Some people are not happy. They write me emails. On the More Pain show for subscribers only, 2.5 hours last night, I honed in on some of these folks, and we'll get rolling on the news here a little bit, but I'll do a little bit. We'll just ease into it. Talk a little bit here. A little bit of Eric Clapton, since we're going to be talking about this. An apropos selection. I started to zone in on some of these so-called journalists on Twitter and social media and are out there You don't really know who they are because they don't use their names. They all have nicknames like CB handles. Old CB radio from back in the day. My message now is basically, with the amount of people that are paid to deceive us on a regular basis, and we see this playing out on a daily basis, so-called journalists who aren't journalists at all, the people who are not using their real names, they need to come out of the closet. They need to get into the sunlight so they can be vetted, so we understand who these people are. Who's behind them? Are they legit? What's their history? I'm out here taking shots. I'm out here taking shots along with a lot of other people. Use your real name. Let's see what you're about. Let's see what your background is. People have large followings. We don't know who these people are. They could be broadcasting from Epstein's Island for all we fucking know. Let's see who you are. Come on out here and take your shots. You want to be the man? You want to be the woman? Let's go. Use your real name. Don't use aliases. Let's see who you are. Let the marketplace decide. Come on out of the shadows. Come on. We got our countries at a crossroads. If you have something to offer in journalism and you're legit, come on out. Get on the mic. Let's hear what you have to say. Anybody can write things, Christ's sake. I mean, writing. You could pay somebody to write. You could have a staff writing for you. Doesn't mean it's your own stuff. See if you can get on the mic. Let's see what you have to offer. I want to hear. If you know so much, share it. I'm dead serious. If you can make the world a better place through your knowledge and your experience, step the fuck up. Otherwise, stay in the shadows. Keep your mouth shut. If you don't want to be vetted and you don't want to come out here, be legitimate, then there's a reason you stay in the shadows. So that was kind of my message yesterday on YouTube intro to the More Pain Show, and then we touched on a little bit more in the More Pain Show. I got a lot of emails today, people saying, hey, that's not fair. Are you talking about this person? Are you talking about that person? I'm not talking about anybody in particular. The fact that you're raising that I'm talking about these people, you must have a guilty conscience. You must also be wondering, who are these people? Who are these people? In today's day and age, we have to know who we're dealing with. We have to know who we're dealing with. Come out and take your shots. If you made some mistakes in the past, that's okay. If you have something to offer your country that's going to benefit us out here, it's no problem. You made some previous mistakes. I've made previous mistakes. Come out, take your shots, and you move on. Your body of work will be judged accordingly from that point on. But it's dangerous to put your faith in people you don't know who the hell they are, who pays them, who they are, what their background is. With the landscape of professional liars, it's dodgy at best. Now, there are some guys out there doing some good work, but let's see who you are. That's all. Come on out. Everybody's welcome. This is America, First Amendment. Right? That doesn't mean we don't have to know who the hell you are. I think that's fair. People should know who they're dealing with. Folks have to be a little bit more discerning out there, I think. That's me personally. Get yourself in a bad situation when you give these folks all this credence and then they implode all the time. You're left scratching your head. Jeez, I was stupid to follow them. You should demand more of the people that you put trust in, so to speak. Trust should be earned, and it should be transparent who you're dealing with. That's all. That's all I got to say about it. There's a lot of... I like striking nerves with people, though, and stirring them up a little bit. You know why? Because it gets them to think. I'm not out here to go along to get along. Right? I want to stir some things up. I want to stir things up politically. I want to shake things up in journalism. That's why we don't really associate with anybody, because there's so many carpetbaggers. There's so many grifters and posers. Come out of the closet. Enough people have been played by these so-called experts and things who keep stringing people along and giving them false information. Come on out. Let's see who you are. Anyway, it's a good first 10 minutes. Let's cruise into this. We appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit that's helping us grow. I'm looking at the news today, and it's like watching the WWE. It's a little bit of everything. Something for everybody with the Comic-Con going on. And we, in episode 37, we just cut loose. We also talk about, you know, it's focused on FBI, DOJ, but also probably have to try to get away from some of that a little bit because it just, it really has no bearing on our country right now. It's like, it's window dressing. We have to focus on CoronaCon and everything else. We have to focus on the scamdemic, what it means to you. That's where my head's at. I just wanted to take a departure because we had some good information and some good intel to share, some good insights. So, listen to that. I'm reminded by my friend in Las Vegas, the professional gambler, who tells me you got to promote more, you got to promote more. So, listen to episode 37 and share it if you find it valuable. I think you will find it valuable because it says a lot of things that you're not being told. And that's always a bad thing when you're not being told. A lot of these things are common sense. If you just take a step back, as I say, just take a step back outside the box, consider these things, I think you'll find the insights valuable. If you do share that, there we go. I've said share it. I get accused of too much self-promoting. And then not enough promoting. So where's the balance? And I said to one guy tonight, if we don't promote ourselves, who will? Give me a break. I don't think I promote myself that much. If I'm confident, I'm sorry. I've been doing this a long time. Tend to think I know what I'm talking about, and history has been a good barometer of that in the last 4 years. So we move on. And there will be more to say about that. One of the reasons I got into podcasting, I wanted to get into podcasting, was to sit these fuckers down who are out there running around with their tin cup out looking for donations. And based on what? They have no pedigree. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this. If that makes me cocky, so be it. What is that noise? You know what that is? It's these damn cell phones. Every time you turn around, they're interfering with the equipment. But you got to have them. Very important tool. Okay, first headline. And we're creeping up to the weekend, folks. And no one's more excited about that than I am, I would guess. We made it through the heavy part of our week. And now we're cruising into Friday. And we'll see what happens news-wise, but we'll bring it to you no matter what. And also, I'm going to probably start, when there's breaking news, I'll probably start throwing in a 10 or 15-minute podcast, just bing, 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 instead of waiting a whole day. If there's something good and I have some insights or I'm pissed off about something or I feel like I'm particularly insightful, boom, I'll lay down 10, 15 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, whatever, to get it out to you instead of just having this all bunch up, things running an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes. Bing, bang, boom. There's no rules out here. I just do what I want. And that's the beauty of it. I have to, still getting my wherewithal here. We are, what, 8 months into this podcast? Still feeling my way around, but I think we're doing pretty good, obviously. Headline, coronavirus hospitalizations are down to the lowest levels of the pandemic. Is someone saying there's winds of change? The media might keep it a secret, but the hospitals have quietly emptied out their beds of COVID-19 patients as large swaths of the country appear to have it hit a de facto herd immunity threshold. Say that five times fast. De facto herd immunity threshold. That should be a drinking game. Meanwhile, no matter how much false panic, extended draconian and ineffective restrictions on liberty, and refuse to put out an exit strategy, they are rapidly turning this lockdown into our domestic Afghanistan. It's now becoming clear from every state and country that has reached saturation levels with the virus that the virus burns out roughly around the 20% seroprevalence benchmark not at the 80% threshold the fearmongers predicted. Fauci. Guy should be locked up. Whether it's Sweden, New York, or Arizona, the virus is going to do what it does, meaning it spreads for about 6 weeks in a given region and then moves on. It's like Bill Clinton. The only question is whether we will continue to destroy our society, our mental health, and economy, or achieve herd immunity without adding the man-made death toll. Herd immunity is going to happen, whether we aim for it or not. Still, Chicken Little Fauci, ever the media showman, refuses to understand the simple math. Others like Nobel laureate Michael Levitt, Oxford epidemiologist Sunetra Gupta, and Stanford professor John Ioannidis have observed from day one, much less the science behind it. Fauci said the death toll from herd immunity would be enormous and unacceptable. I think he was talking about his salary. Enormous and unacceptable.
If everyone contracted, even with a relatively high percentage of people without symptoms, Fauci said during an Instagram Live, a lot of people are going to die.
Yeah. We're all going to die eventually, Fauci. Is that your model?
Eventually, everybody will die on Earth.
He's a brilliant man. Brilliant. Bravo, doctor. Bravo.
You're a real crumb bum.
The top so-called infectious disease guy in the United States during an alleged pandemic is on Instagram. He's the medical equivalent of Kim Kardashian at this point. Hopefully he keeps his clothes on. We've seen enough. Study after study has shown that an enormous percentage of the population already has partial immunity, which explains why the virus always seems to hit a brick wall in most places after reaching 20% of the population, more or less. Hitting a brick wall. It's like Pelosi out for a drive after few liquid lunches. Remember the raging spread of the virus in the southern states throughout June and into July? Well, that did not go on forever. I was in the south in July. We went down there to see what the hell was going on. I'm still alive.
He's a modern miracle, Mildred. We tuned in. We thought eventually he would just die off. It was good for ratings.
Well, the virus spread in the South didn't last forever. According to the CDC's weekly update, on Friday, the number of people in the hospital with laboratory-confirmed cases was lower than it has been since the beginning of the lockdown. Back to the week of March 21st. Even though we are testing much more today, many more people, as of August 13th, according to the CDC surveillance program, that's a list you don't want to get on. Those, you think Snowden blew the roof on something. He should have been on this. Those with coronavirus-like illnesses are just 1.8% of emergency department visits, which matches the June 6th level before the surge in the South. In early July, it was up 4.3%. Those numbers have bottomed out even lower than May levels, even in the South. Coronavirus patients make up fewer than 3% of patients in every region of the country. Are you reading this? 3%, but you're still locked in your house. Tell me again how the government really gives a shit about you. According to the AP, Florida reported 3,900 new cases of the coronavirus Sunday, the lowest daily total nearly 2 months. Excuse me. ER visits in Florida are down 63% since the peak in July when we were visiting there. touring Florida. And I can tell you, nobody in Florida thought this was real from talking to a lot of people, as I reported previously on this program. As this reporter reported on this very program, Arizona has long been past its peak, even though the media continues to act. How long is this story? I have to look at it because I'm like, you know what? Time to cue up some more music. I wanted to play a little Roots yesterday since we were talking about how Philadelphia has gone down the tubes with the shootings and everything. Of course, Roots has its roots in Philadelphia, and this song with Erykah Badu, who's got tremendous voice, we'll throw this in. Going to get a massive spectrum of different music on here because that's what I've been listening to my whole life. Different things. Hip-hop coming up, you know, places I lived and dancing for money as kids. Professionally, we were good. We had a good crew. None of us had a pot to piss in, and we made something out of nothing, and we were able to earn a pretty good dollar to help with our moms. People, my kid's like, when you were making money dancing in clubs and stuff, what did you do with the money? Said I paid the electricity bill so we could have heat. Whatever was left over, we went to the store. We got peanut butter. We got Wonder Bread. We got some saltines. We got some milk, 2% milk. That's what I did with my money. Put that in your hat, kids. Take that to your therapist. Although Mondays are usually light reporting days, Arizona reported zero deaths just yesterday and fewer than 500 new cases. In Texas, hospitalizations are down 43% from the July 22nd peak and declining rapidly, even though the border counties, which were hit harder than almost anywhere in the country, have declined after a tough July. On April 13th, in New York and New Jersey combined, a population of 28.2 million between the two states had 26,000 COVID hospitalizations. Today, Arizona, California, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, with a combined population of 108 million, have less, 21,000 COVID patients. And remember, we're better now at identifying the full population of COVID cases than we were in March. This is going down, folks. Not according to the government or the Faucis of the world. They want to pump this up, man, because the vaccines are on the horizon and they all going to get paid. What's becoming clear is that every major population area is going to achieve this 20% threshold, whether they like it or not. Talking about herd immunity. Even in many unnaturally confined places like ships, prisons, and meatpacking plants, three places I like to hang out, three places I've been. Although there are some exceptions, the infection rate seems to be just 25% when one would think 100% would get the virus, given how contagious it's supposed to be. That could be the power of the long-lasting T-cell immunity for much of the population that has already gotten partial immunity from having previously contracted coronavirus colds, unless they are immunocompromised. Well, we know the people that are pimping this are mentally compromised and morally compromised, and it's unfortunate. As I said to you at the top of the show, we can have some fun and cover the FBI and the DOJ, but the meat and potatoes of this program now is what I call kitchen table subjects. They affect you directly, and that's coronavirus. Thank you, Roots. We'll move on to another tune. Australia Prime Minister puts citizens on notice. See what I'm talking about? It's going down across the world, but listen to this story. Okay. Australian Prime Minister put citizens on notice. All citizens will likely undergo mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations. We have people from Australia on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit that have been active in the discussion forums on there for subscribers only. They paint a very grim picture of what's going on for a long time in Australia. If you don't think I read everything, I do, and I remember it. This is a byproduct of what they've been talking about on there, on our subscriber-only areas, for months. Whoops. Australians are likely to face mandatory coronavirus vaccinations if Prime Minister Scott Morrison gets his wish. Scott Peyote Morrison, after Jim Morrison. I paused and I was thinking of a good nickname. Peyote's good. That's slander. That's libel. The nation is a step closer to gaining access to a vaccine, with the federal government securing an international deal to produce a vaccine frontrunner locally if trials succeed. If that happens, Mr. Morrison expects Australians will have to undergo mandatory vaccination. Boy, what the hell has happened to Australia? Used to be a wild place. You go there and people are like carefree and wild. You look at the history of Australia. People were sent there, thrown out of other countries like Ireland. A lot of Irish in Australia. Irish sent the troublemakers to Australia. So these guys are like, these guys have the DNA of troublemakers. I can't believe they're just going to sit around and take this from some Poindexters. But more proof that this is a global scamdemic. No doubt other developed nations will eventually try to follow suit, making mandatory vaccinations. Given that we've detailed, we're already to the point of colleges, schools, and office spaces in many instances requiring as a condition to return to campus or workspace a COVID-19 test. Or in some cases, individuals are subject to weekly tests. Based on the trend, these current testing requirements will seamlessly switch to a vaccination requirements. Mandatory at that, as will apparently and likely happen in Australia. I would expect it to be mandatory as you could possibly make it, PM, Prime Minister Peyote Morrison, told Melbourne radio station 3AW. Morrison described the federal government's plans, manufacture it as soon as it clears clinical trials, and the drug will be free for all Australians.
You may fuck me, man, but I'm going to wreck. You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Remember that. I'm going to wrap a vaccination around your head, too.
It's free. Everybody line up to get your free vaccination. Oh, shit. A lot of those people died. Well, they didn't pay for it. They knew what they were getting.
But as activists who might have legitimate concerns over the federal government mandating such a substance without an established and lengthy track record, medical tests in use be injected in each individual's body is a precondition to... This fucking sentence is exhausting. I have to train. I'm going to have to run laps to be able to read that sentence. Let's break it down. Such a vaccine would seemingly come with a cost in terms of freedom of conscience and an individual's right to manage risk and trade-offs for themselves. As Australia's ABC put it, the government will rely on its no-jab and no-play precedent in terms of up-to-date vaccination already in effect. And requirement for children to attend everything from child care to school to households' ability to get a family tax benefit across most provinces will depend on whether they've been vaccinated.
Line up, kids. Line up, kids. Everybody line up for a free shot of battery ass. Hey, battery ass.
whatever
happened to a popsicle?
Oh, you're going to get a popsicle, all right. Right in your arm. My God, what has happened to this world? Orwell's looking pretty fucking smart right now. Huxley looking pretty smart right now. Real smart. Cuomo could claim... Let me take a drink of water. We'll start some music here. We need some good Cuomo music. What should we play? King of Pain? Whipping Post? Killing Me Softly with his song? And the survey says, Whipping Post. I took a straw poll online. It's really fast. They're changing the words of this song for COVID-19 New York. Cuomo killing old people. Killed all my relatives. Killed my whole family. Where else can you listen to a podcast with political analysis, some jokes, singing? Somebody wrote me. Yeah.
Sometimes the podcast at Tom. It descends into like a fraternity thing where you feel like you're in a bar drinking. That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
It's supposed to be me. This is who I am. What do you want me to be like these phonies from Fox? Get the heck out of here. Come on. Let people be themselves. That's all we have left. Cuomo claims his COVID-19 response worked and was beautiful. Yeah. If you're a merchant of death, if you're a funeral home, it's been beautiful. Downstate New York was the COVID-19 hotspot of the world. But the geniuses in the Democratic Party thought it was a good idea to have Governor Cuomo deliver a primetime speech on the first night of their convention. Oh, he's a hero. They should have brought him out in a fucking hospital bed on a ventilator. Let him give a speech with a tube down his throat. Cuomo jumped right in with some Orwellian rewriting of history by lauding his own response to the coronavirus in New York.
New Yorkers were ground zero for the COVID virus and have gone from one of the highest infection rates on the globe to one of the lowest, he said. We climbed the impossible mountain. And right now, we are on the other side.
Yeah, you're on the other side because everybody tumbled the fuck down the mountain. And half the people died. The mountain being long-term care facilities and nursing homes. This guy is like a criminal. He's on national TV. People are like, yay!
Governor Cuomo is so heroic!
Lord, I feel like I'm dying.
This is now the official song of New York, Whipping Post. Cuomo then attempted to blame President Trump for the pandemic, while also shifting blame away from China by saying the European virus infected the Northeast while the White House was still asphyxiated on China. Oh, really? Is this the European virus now? Cuomo, I think, take it easy, bud. We know if you're from Italy. Don't get carried away now.
The virus has been attacking us for months before they even knew it was here, Cuomo said.
It sounded like he was blaming Trump for this, not the fact that China covered up the disease for weeks before informing the WHO. December 31st, 2019,
we saw the failure of the government that tried to deny the virus, then tried to ignore it, and then tried to politicize it.
Again, if we had a functioning Justice Department and Bill Barr wasn't a protection artist, a provocateur of chaos, and deceit, Cuomo would be locked up or in the process of being locked up, investigated. In the same speech, Cuomo blamed Trump for New York's coronavirus response, but praised himself for New York's response as if it's possible to have it both ways. And for all the pain and all the tears, our way worked, and it was beautiful. He's just talking about tax day in New York. Pain and tears. This goes out to everybody in New York there. You guys, get the hell out of New York. Unbelievable. This next song is more apropos, really, for what Cuomo's done in New York. A Wall Street Journal investigation published last... Time for water. Mumbling again.
He should edit that stuff out, Bilger. He's wasting our time.
Okay, I'll get right on that. A Wall Street Journal investigation published last month detailed how Cuomo and New York City Mayor de Blasio's response to the coronavirus was marred by missed warning signs and policies that made healthcare workers say put residents at a greater risk and led to unnecessary deaths. True. A journal identified 7 missteps: improper patient transfers, insufficient isolation protocols, inadequate staff planning, mixed messages between state government, city government, hospital officials, over-reliance on government sources for key equipment, procurement planning gaps, incomplete staff policies, and Governor Cuomo's choice of cologne. Well, that's not in there. I apologize. New York accounts for roughly 30% of America's coronavirus deaths. 30% of our deaths. They shut this country down because these criminals in New York jacked up the deaths. They kept people on respirators longer than they should have, when the mortality rate on respirators was 85%. And what was Governor Death doing? Governor Grim Reaper? He was calling for more respirators. Let's kill more fucking people up here. Let's go. Let's get these numbers jacked up. Remember, he said, this is an exercise. this pandemic. Very telling. Then the people he wasn't killing on ventilators that were piling up, he was infecting in long-term care nursing facilities. It came out that, he killed 6,000 people. I'm saying he killed because he did. So I'm just putting that out there. Killed 6,000 people in long-term care facilities and nursing homes. I said, that's bullshit. That's triple. It's 18,020. Then it came out this week. Guess what? They underreported it. It's more like 12,000. Wait till the new numbers come out and we're up to 18 to 20,000. Might even go higher than that. Give it time. This stuff played out in different forms over the years when you're covering these people, working with these people time and time and time again. They never give you the real numbers up front, ever. Haven't we figured this out yet? They say something costs $1 trillion. It costs $4 trillion by the time they're done with it. Sure, it costs $1 trillion. $1.5 trillion, when you borrow the money or print the money, amortized over 10, 15 years, it's going to cost $3, $4 trillion. They don't tell you that. As they said in the movie Mindfuck. The movie Slapshot with Paul Newman. It's the old Mindfuck. The Wall Street Journal also reported that leaders in states like California and Ohio acted quickly to contain the spread, but Cuomo and de Blasio delayed taking measures to close the state and city, even as the number of cases swelled, despite warnings from doctors, nurses, and school teachers. They wanted to kill people. I've said that for 5 months now, and they did. And the reason there was such a panic in the country, everybody thought that every state was going to turn into New York. But every state didn't have Tweedledee and Tweedledum intentionally jacking up numbers to force the country into some kind of communist hellhole that we're in now. When the White House sitting there with their thumbs up their ass the whole time, putting Fauci, Birx, and Redfield out front. can't make this up. Then there's the nursing home death scandal. Cuomo forcing nursing homes to accept coronavirus positive patients resulted in a massive outbreak among the population. The most vulnerable people to the disease he infected. And somehow it's Trump's fault. It's our fault. And don't forget, all the mistakes that New York has made, guess whose tax dollars are underwriting it? Not the people in New York. They're out of money. They don't have any money. There's $7 billion in the hole. Your tax dollars are paying for the temporary hospitals, the Navy ship they piped up. They're the big Navy ship. Here comes the USNS Comfort into the South Street Seaport. Oh, my God, it's awesome. There was a crowd there. Yay.
Oh, look at the big ship, Dad. Oh, my God, look at that. It's crazy. They're going to save people. Governor Cuomo's going to save people, and he made a hospital at the Javits Center.
They didn't treat anybody. They treated like 18 people on this ship. It cost millions of dollars. Your money. Army Corps engineers came in. Javits Center made Army field hospitals in New York. Your money. Didn't treat anybody. Hello? I need an echo thing on here. Hello? Is anybody down there in the well? Of course, all these stories are on truepundit.com. On the pain in the morning, it would be 8:20. That is today's date. There's a couple of stories they've crossed out here, but that will be on there. They're worth a read, but we don't want to get further stuck into these because it's just, I think they probably didn't want to upset me. So they crossed them out. But I'll give you the headlines after I pick out some quick music right here. What do we have? We have Kill Me Softly, Whipping Post, Little King of Pain. We're talking about New York. We'll go King of Pain. The headlines of the stories are Iowa State professor forbids students to disagree with Black Lives Matter and abortion. Well, it's always good when you're paying those tuition rates at Iowa State to be brainwashed. That's an interesting story to read. The second one is Black Lives Matter mob beats pinatas of Bob Kroll and wife at their home. Jesus. Bob Kroll's a Minneapolis Police Federation president and his wife. So this is how criminals act. You embrace them and this is what you get. So you can read those stories on the site. And interesting notes. Why they crossed it out. These guys prepped the news for me. Too much talking and noise from these loser thugs. Not relevant to the info. Stories better consumed online. And on there, you can also watch the videos linked to the stories. Okay. Now you're getting a little internal memo from the Thomas Paine podcast crew. I like when they write me little notes. These are young guys, okay, who are really understanding how fucked up this country is. And I get to read these little notes they put in there, and they're becoming more and more informed, and the stories that they're picking out are better. I have nothing to do with this story. Every now and then I'll say, hey, put a story in here. I want this story in here. But I let them pick it, and they're doing a smash-up job, and it's appreciated. They're going to be the king of pain, king of the pain podcast, and I appreciate the work these guys do because they work hard. They're young bucks. And they have promising futures. I hope. In this country. Okay. Headline. Texas governor proposes freezing city property taxes following the defund police actions. The headline's a little... looks a little deceptive, but maybe it's just poorly worded. Let's get the song. What we need here is a little country and western music. Talking about Texas, talking about crazy people. Let's go with a little Billy Currington. People were crazy.
Mildred, he also listens to country and western.
We got both kind of music here, country and western. Texas Governor Greg Abbott proposed legislation for the next session to freeze the property tax rates of any city that moves to defund police. The move would mean municipalities like Austin, Texas, that take action to defund their own departments would be barred from raising its property tax rate to offset crime. Now, that paragraph didn't say that, but I had to rewrite it on the fly because it made no sense. And if you read the story, you'll see that. Texas Republican leaders traveled to Fort Worth to meet with Mayor Betsy Price regarding the funding for law enforcement operations. The meeting follows actions by the Austin City Council to strip nearly one-third of the city's law enforcement budget as part of the Defund Police movement. Yeah. The Austin police are still looking for the what happened to the FBI agent Sal Cincinnati in the container bar in Austin. Guy just supposedly shot himself on a dance floor. Yeah, that sounds legit. That's what they need. Less cops. So more FBI agents who investigated the Clinton Foundation can go to Austin and get whacked or turn up dead. Allegedly. Throw that in there. Abbott. And people are crazy. Abbott and the assembled legislators announced plans to introduce a bill in the next session of the Texas legislature that would severely punish any city that moves to defund its police department by putting a freeze on the city's current tax rate. It's smart. Cities subject to this action by the state would not be allowed to raise their property tax rates to raise additional funds. The next session of the Texas legislature begins in January 2021. Any city that defunds its police department will have its property tax revenues frozen. Part of our collective responsibility, Abbott said, regarding the leadership gathered at the Fort Worth meeting, is to ensure the safety and security of all Texans. We will ensure these communities will be protected by law enforcement officers. The Texas governor cited recent reports showing the city of Austin being number one in the percentage increase in the number of murders. Sal Cincinnati, anybody want to investigate what happened to the FBI guy? People are crazy. Murders in Austin rose by 64% in a year-to-year comparison. Abbott said the city also reported a 14% increase in aggravated robberies and 16% increase in robberies. I think those are good, attractive parts for tourism. Put that in the Zagat guide. Get those stats in there. Get a lot of Antifa types showing up. Last thing we should do is defund law enforcement, Abbott said. And that's exactly what the city of Austin did. See, I was trying to be all slick. I missed my cue. That's the way it is. One man show here. I look like an octopus setting up a beach chair. In response to a reporter's question about future economic downturns in the cities, Texas, the governor explained, "This means absolutely any city in the state of Texas that defunds law enforcement will have their property tax revenue frozen as of that time." And that does mean, in the future, if they do face tough economic times, it means they will have no ability to increase that property tax revenue. Yeah, because guess what? You're always the one holding the bag on these people. Right? It's crazy. They come up with these things and then you have to pay for it. So I said to people, stop paying for these things. Make some fucking noise out there, people. Show us you're alive. Anybody out there? Is anybody out there? What's going on? What? Come on, people. Get up. Oh, man. I'm going to take a quick drink right here. Hold on.
God is great. Beer is good. And people are crazy.
Mix it up, a little country and western. San Francisco cops are leaving in record numbers, pursuing jobs at other departments. Yeah, for this. Let's see. Oh, Ray Charles. Nah, I don't like it. How about Spencer Davis? I'm a man. That's better. Talking about cops. That's sexist, Mildred. That's sexist. We got him. We got him. San Francisco police officers are leaving the department in record numbers, with many pursuing jobs at departments elsewhere in the state or around the country. The San Francisco Chronicle reported Sunday. The mass exodus, which amounts to 54 officers so far this year, with 23 leaving for other jobs and 31 retiring, comes as the city just approved a measure to defund the police and is debating other areas of reform as a result of Black Lives Matter protests. You're going to need some men in the city when all hell breaks loose. I mean, it's already a toilet out there, but... I'm a man, and I'm quitting my job in this hellhole. In late July, San Francisco Mayor London Breed. Doesn't that sound like a motorcycle gang? Better. This is our territory, man. This is the territory of the London Breed. Unfortunately, she has the intellectual ability of a motorcycle wheel, a spoked wheel. Mayor London Breed announced $120 million in police funding would be redirected to address disparities in the black community over the next 2 years. Part of that money is just going to be used to clean up the people defecating in the streets of San Francisco. This was just the latest in a string of abuses that police have suffered in the last decade. You mess with London Breed, man. Nobody messes with the Breed. Many officers are reportedly frustrated working under California's Proposition 47, a measure that reduced many nonviolent felonies to misdemeanors and has resulted in little or no jail time for such crimes as hard as drug possession and theft. Something now. The air in here is thick. I don't know what's going on. I am a bystander in my own house. I'm not allowed to control any of the temperature. I just go with the flow. Accordingly, it leaves me generally confused, like many of the men out there with the wives in their 50s. I am generally confused on a regular basis with the temperature in the house, the clothes I'm supposed to wear to weather it, and what season it is, and whether I'm working next to meats that should be hanging from a rack or a hook, frozen meats. According to the Chronicle, the number of police officers leaving the department is trending at a record pace. What the hell else we got here? I want to listen to some damn music. It's Thursday. We'll go to some game theory by the Roots as well. You have to go about 41 seconds in. Back to Philly, the Roots. We're talking about shitty cities. Let's go to a group from Philadelphia. If they continue as they are, the rates of departure of police officers, the department is on track to lose nearly twice as many cops this year as it did last year and close to four times as many in 2018. Tony Montoya, president of the San Francisco Police Officers Association, warned. Tony Montoya? Wait a second. Better not mess with him. If he's got a scar on his face, I want to meet this guy. I'm Tony Montoya. Was that guy's Scarface's name? Tony Scarface Montoya, president of the San Francisco Police Officers Association, warned, this is just the beginning. Dozens are actively in the hiring process with other agencies. Should I have said that in a Cuban accent? Like Pacino? Say hello to my little friend. No, I wasn't talking about Fauci. The members are upset that the social experiment being conducted in San Francisco is failing, and they would rather work someplace that values them, Montoya added. Members have gone to places like Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, Pleasant Hill, Beverly Hills. We're not going to fall for that banana in the tailpipe. Petaluma, Palm Springs, Placerville, Long Beach, Idaho, Texas, Arizona. They're the ones spreading the goddamn coronavirus. That's a joke. Thank you, Roots. We'll come back to you guys eventually. I like little Roots music.
He's gone urban, Mildred. He's gone urban. He's pivoting to a new audience. This guy is desperate.
Florida airport evacuated after a huge live missile found in a shipping container. Now, you have to go to the website and see this story from MacDill Air Force Base. This missile is scary. What? Couldn't they shift this to the Postal Service? One of the Postal Services having problems with their machines. There's a 30-foot missile. Oh, my God. What do we have for this? You have to see the picture. It's insane. Oh, boy. Earlier this week, the cause of a major security incident was revealed, which occurred last Friday at the International Airport in Polk County, Florida. Polk, Salad Annie. Lakeland Linder International Airport was a scene of a sudden emergency evacuation when a contractor opened a shipping container to unexpectedly find a massive guided missile inside. I mean, people will do anything to try to stuff a carry-on in the overhead.
I'm not paying extra money for the missile. It's $45 a bag, Mildred. Carry that missile on. See if they'll stuff it under the seat.
If you're talking about a guided missile that's live, maybe we'll go with a little modern English. That seems to be if you're at the airport, play a little modern English. I melt with you. You might be melting with everybody if that missile goes off. Initial local news reports indicated the airport's personnel had no idea how the missile ended up at a major civilian airport, only that the container also had parts of an aircraft inside, and that the shipment belonged to Draken International, a U.S. defense contractor based in the area, which focuses on the development of tactical fighter aircraft. They're probably shipping at the Dick Cheney's ranch. He's going to put it on his mantle.
Where's the container? Where's the missile? I'm having a party. The missile's supposed to be here.
Though it's not unheard of, shipping containers belonging to defense firms might have inert missiles inside them. In this instance, the missile was live and contained a live warhead. However, it was not armed. Well, that's nice. That's something that the flight crew does.
In 15 minutes, there'll be a drink cart coming, and then we go down below to arm the missile.
What? You say missile? After the complete evacuation of the airport disposal, technicians from the nearby MacDill Air Force Base, along with members of the ATF, the ATF is there. Oh, man. You know something's going to blow up. And local fire departments were called in to dispose of it. Surrounding neighborhoods also had to be evacuated, given the huge size of the ordnance. You should see the fucking size of this thing. Oh, my God. That's intense. This thing has to be, I don't know, 30,000 pounds. Did it say how much it weighed? I don't think it said how much it weighed. This looks like it's 30,000 pounds. 15 tons, 20 tons. It's got to be 30 feet long, 20 feet long. Big, real big. Take a look on the website. Yeah, you'd stop the world and melt with everybody if this thing went off in the airport. Jesus. 30,000 pounds they put on the airplane. What the hell? People do anything to get out of paying the fees for baggage. Yeah, we appreciate you folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Supporting us. We're not supported by millionaires and billionaires, so we really can put the direct contributions and patronage to work and stretch it out. You get access to a lot of different things. The conversation lately is worth its weight in gold. I'm picking up a lot of stuff from people. There's a lot of smart people out there, man. I have a lot of smart listeners, a lot of smart viewers. These are not the cement heads that are on Twitter. Thank God. Hopefully I'm doing a good job of alienating as many of those people as possible. That's the goal. You'd grow faster if you were stupider. I'll keep that in mind. At our next staff meeting, we'll try to act more like morons behind the mic and watch our numbers grow. Yay! You remember this song in the 80s? Tell me you weren't cruising around to this song. On a Friday night. School dance. College. Friday, Saturday night. Man, they don't make them like that anymore. I don't know what they make now, but it's not like that. Modern English. Be back tomorrow. Pain in the morning on Friday. Wrapping up the week. Headed into the weekend. Counting down the month. I ask you folks again. Take a gander at episode 37 of the Big Wednesday podcast. If you like what it represents, share it. If you don't like what it represents, think about it. Some of these things that I do don't make any sense for months, sometimes years. Then it's like, oh, didn't he say that like 6 months ago? 3 years ago? Wow. He was right. Sometimes these things are like fine wine. It takes you a while to get there. The important thing is that you get there, whether it's through me or somebody else, a higher degree of learning and understanding. Hopefully that's something that you're taking away from this show. As I say at the end of every show, what? Take care and God bless.
prophet.